From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a day it is. What a night it has been. President Donald J. Trump achieving what no other president in the history of the Republic has been able to do. And it is quite remarkable when you see the reaction coming in from President Trump's peace deal. It was Donald J. Trump, the great peacemaker, who has somehow engineered peace in the Middle East. Now, is the ink dry yet? No, it is not. And you know how these things are. But the fact that Donald Trump got us to this point is just quite remarkable and a testimony to the negotiating skills that this man has. Because everybody's tried and everyone has failed except for Donald Trump. And it's really been sort of delicious to watch the mainstream media guys and the drive-by media guys having to admit that Donald Trump did what nobody else could do, including Barack Hussein Obama. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm curious to hear from you today on the program whether or not you believe this should result in Donald Trump getting the Nobel Peace Prize. Does our great president, Donald J. Trump, deserve the Nobel Peace Prize? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, you might recall that Barack Hussein Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize back in 2009, just 8 months after he had taken office. And at the time, there was great controversy because no one could figure out exactly why Barack Obama had been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Nobody could figure it out. The guy hadn't done anything except, I don't know, deliver some pretty good speeches. But even then, the speeches, really, there was nothing of substance there. Nobody could figure it out, aside from the fact that he got elected. And a lot of people really believe the reason why Barack Hussein Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize is because he was elected to office. As a matter of fact, years later, the head of the Nobel Prize committee actually admitted that it was a big mistake to honor Barack Obama, and he actually said that Obama himself was stunned. Nobody could figure out why Obama had gotten the award. And at the time, many people said, the guy hasn't done anything. Give him a couple of years. Let's see what this guy does. And had they done that, he never would have gotten the prize, because all of those speeches that Obama gave in the Middle Eastern countries and the Arab nations, do you remember what happened? It led to something called the Arab Spring, where you had mass uprisings across the entire Middle East. Every time Obama opened his mouth, war broke out. It was just really unbelievable. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, you've got Donald Trump out there, and everybody loves to hate on Trump. But the fact of the matter is, when Trump was in office the first term, we had 4 years of peace in the world. When Trump was elected to a second term, Donald Trump, once again, taking us down this road of peace where the United States not involved in any armed conflicts. So it just seems to me that it is time to honor Donald Trump for being the great peacemaker. And God bless this man. Donald Trump did not want to see the sons and daughters of America be shipped off to fight somebody else's war. And I will say this. Donald Trump is a great man. And I believe that history is going to look upon his presidencies as some of the best, some of the most glorious times in American history. And I believe an argument could be made, if all of this is finalized, I believe an argument could be made that Donald Trump will go down as the greatest president of all time, the greatest president in all American history. Even the presidential historian himself, John Meacham, and by the way, all these folks are liberals or leftists, all of them, but they understand the significance of working out this plan for Gaza and Israel. Cut 15, please.
One of the things about honesty and citizenship and a sense of, I would say, maturity about what people in a democracy should do is, even if someone with whom you disagree about 99 things does the 100 really well, you should say so, because that's what intellectual honesty is. And so all credit to President Trump and his, as you say, unconventional team. But if they make an unconventional team, that's fine, right? I remember once asking the senior President Bush after something terrible had happened. It's a sign of something that I can't remember what it was after he'd been president. Something had happened in the Middle East. And I said, this is the man who spent decades dealing with this. I said, Mr. President, do you think this ever gets resolved? And he said, God, I don't know. That's what one of the most experienced diplomatic presidents in American history thought, that it was an unknowable thing.
Well, it's knowable now, and we now can say that Donald Trump has achieved peace, at least in this part of the Middle East. Morning, Joe. This is great. They don't know what to think about all of this. Here's they're reacting to David Ignatius. And Ignatius is spelling out how Trump was able to accomplish this. Cut 14.
The deal that President Trump is announcing, played a key part in negotiating, is a significant change. This war was blocked for 2 years. President Biden, who preceded him, was unable to find a way to stop it. President Trump found that way by being tough on both sides. And he'll take a victory lap for sure over the next few days, but it's deserved. There's no way that I can see that this would have been done without Trump's pressure in the final hours.
Yeah, dare I say that the president knows the art of the deal? I mean, he wrote the book on it. Did he not? All right, one more piece of audio here, and I want to move on. ABC News, Martha Raddatz. Sorry. That's a faux pas. Martha Raddatz of ABC News, Cut 13.
Tell us about the role President Trump played in bringing all of this about.
Well, Robin, there's no question that if this goes as planned, if we see those remaining hostages freed and Israel begin its withdrawal, it is a remarkable achievement, and President Trump most certainly deserves credit for his role. He has done this through diplomacy, pressure, and the sheer force of his personality and persistence. He dispatched diplomats again and again, made threats just in the last few days to Hamas, saying again, if they did not sign the deal, all hell would break loose. And they had the bombing of Iran as an example of that. But perhaps most importantly, he pushed Benjamin Netanyahu in ways his predecessor and others have not, Robin.
And what finally got the two sides to this point? And will it be able to get phase two off the ground?
Well, you know, Robin, throughout this process, President Trump never wavered in his support for Israel. But when Netanyahu ignored much of what Trump was trying to accomplish by continuing to bomb over the last few months, Trump laid down the hammer with Netanyahu, essentially saying enough is enough. Trump had also told Netanyahu that he was opening indirect negotiations with the Iranians, which put even more pressure on the Israeli prime minister. Obviously, the coming days will prove whether the rest of the plan comes to fruition. But if those hostages are freed, which would leave Hamas without their major bargaining tool, this is a huge moment for Donald Trump.
Yes, it is, Martha Raddish. Raddatz. Yes, it is, Martha. Well done, Mr. President. Well done, sir. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, here's the bigger issue. I mean, yeah, you know, okay, we get it. Trump brought peace to the Middle East. But can he bring peace to the Democrat Party? Man, what in the world is going on? This is insane. There is a fierce civil war brewing right now within the ranks of the Democrat Party. And you've got on one side, you have Nancy Pelosi and Shutdown Schumer. On the other side, you have AOC, Jasmine Crockett, and Hakeem, sorry. Haktua. We call him Dollar Store Obama, Hakeem Jeffries. Dylan, what are you? Dylan, you're upset with me. Why are you upset?
I'm not upset. You just made a Gen Z reference.
My apologies.
It doesn't happen that often.
No, I don't know what's between Radishes and Haktua Jeffries. I don't know what's going on with me today.
It's going to stick.
I think I may have had decaf this morning.
Sounds like it.
Anyway, so that's who they're dealing with right now, and it is a generational divide within the party, and nobody really knows where this is all going to end up. Well, I'm going to tell you where it's going to end up. If the Republicans play their cards right here, they will end up in the majority for a very, very, very long time. And I'll explain why when we come back from the break here. But let me say this as we set up that conversation. The Democrats, they have really crossed the Rubicon here. There is no coming back right now with the Democrats. There's no way. The progressives control the party. The people that are getting elected and running for office are to the left of the people that won office before. I'll give you an example. Like AOC would be considered more of a moderate compared to some of the young people that are running as Democrats in the midterm elections. That's what I'm getting at. This is an incredibly radicalized party. Chris Cuomo over at News Nation even admitted that this doesn't even look like his party. So there's a lot going on there. So the question is, what happens to the Democrats? And I'm loving this. This is a wonderful thing, because it's woke on woke violence, and they're eating each other now. It's a beautiful thing to see, and I don't know about you, but I've got my Orville Redenbacher, I've got my Dr. Pepper, and I'm ready to watch the throwdown, because they're about to start picking off the Chuck Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's and the Congressman Steve Cohen's out there. That's where all of this is going. All right, I promise you we're going to a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about something I'm really excited about. It's more important today than ever. It's called Freedom Chat, a next-gen messaging app designed for people who still believe in privacy and free speech. The team just launched their alpha version, and it's available today on both Android and iPhone, and I'd like you to download it right now. Unlike the so-called free apps that spy on you, sell your data, Freedom Chat was built with your privacy first. Your messages are end-to-end encrypted. They're not stored on servers. Even screenshots are blocked. No tracking, no mining, no listening in. Just private communication the way it ought to be. And here's something I especially like. Freedom Chat has no ties to big tech. It's built by people that I trust, and you should too. I believe in it so much, I've created my own private channel inside Freedom Chat at Todd Stearns, which you can subscribe to. That's freedomchat.com, where freedom still means something. Freedomchat.com. And welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We will begin advocating for President Trump to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And in honesty, not only is this a great victory for President Trump, but I think it's a great victory. It would be a great victory for the Nobel Prize Committee, seeing that they have really hurt their cause in recent years, and it really all started with giving Obama the prize simply for being elected. So perhaps they can return to the days of glory in years past by honoring President Trump. You know, I want to hear President Trump's speech when he gets the prize. I think that would be a brilliant thing. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to go to some audio here. This goes back to what we were just talking about with the radicalization, the further radicalization of the Democrat Party. This is a party that is embracing communism. This is a party that is, and these individuals that are running now have no respect for the elders of their party. They're out for blood. And that's the shocking thing about Congressman Steve Cohen, who is a radical leftist, and yet he is considered too conservative now for his own district. And so there is a black radical activist, and really he's a black supremacist to some extent. His name is Justin J. Pearson, state representative. He announced yesterday that he is going to take on Steve Cohen. And this guy, as this all broke yesterday, this guy is to the left of Jasmine Crockett. He is basically Jasmine Crockett without the eyebrows or the charisma. Cut number two.
Believe in me because I believe you deserve the best.
Yeah.
I believe you deserve to retire without debt.
Yeah.
I believe that you should be able to live in a home and not worry about ever going underwater. I believe that you deserve access to health care no matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are. I believe that your children, your grandchildren, your children that are going to come generations from now deserve access to a good public education. I believe that the air that they breathe, the water that they drink, and the land that we plant in is sacred. I want you to believe not just in me, but believe in us.
Yeah.
I believe that when we stand up, when we speak up, when we vote, when we knock doors, that we are going to change this city. We are going to change this state. We're going to change this country. We're going to change this whole world.
Yeah.
It requires a belief, not just in me. Don't just believe in me. I believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus before you believe in me.
Yeah.
I know that the reason that I'm running this race is for us.
Yeah.
The reason that we're willing to stand up in this moment in time is because of us.
Come on.
In this moment, we know we are suffering. We are dying. We are sick. We are being deprived of too much in this time.
Yeah.
And we've got to stand up for us because ain't nobody going to save us.
Yeah. Nobody.
They've had 20 years, 30 years, 40 years to fix it.
Yeah.
And look where we have found ourselves.
Come on.
We've been going and going and going in the wrong direction.
Now
it's time to turn this ship around.
Turn it around.
Go toward justice, toward freedom, toward liberty.
Yes.
As our ancestors did before us.
Yes, sir.
So we shall do now.
It's about us.
Pardon me. Did it again. Kind of got caught up in the moment. So that's the leftism that is coming to Capitol Hill very soon. And you better wake up here, folks, because if these guys ever get control of Congress, it is over for freedom and liberty in this country. We can't let these people anywhere near power again. And that's one of the reasons why we have got to be so focused on what's happening within the Republican Party and making sure that we are electing Republicans that are not there for the establishment, but are there for the people. That's what we've got to do. And if we can just do that, and if we can follow through on the campaign promises that we made to the voters, then we're going to be fine. We're going to be just fine. And I love what's happening, for example, right now in the state of New Jersey, and we're working to get the Republican nominee on the show. I mean, he's out there crushing it. Last night, huge debate in New Jersey. And the Republicans are just crushing the day. We'll play some more audio from that in when we come back from the break here. Coming up, by the way, we're going to be talking to Iowa State Senator David Sires. Now, the State Board of Education is now looking at stepping in and taking over the Des Moines Public Schools after we found out that the superintendent of the Des Moines Public Schools was a criminal illegal alien, a wanted felon who had no educational experience. Oh, my word. It's an insane story. So we'll be talking to him. Also, Kate Monroe, a Marine Corps veteran, she'll be dropping by a little bit later on today as well. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. And head over to ToddStearns.com during the break. Check out our great stories. Also, free newsletter and podcast available for you. We'll be right back, everybody. I've got something very exciting for you. The perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in 2 free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. There's a big problem on British Airways. The Boeing 747s, the first class compartments are pretty nice and very spacious. And Dylan, I know that you were flying back on your church mission trip. You went out to fly, and did you have to use the facilities on board the jetliner?
Once, yes.
All right, so they're a little tight. It's a tight squeeze.
It's a compressed space. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not fun for me.
The one on Boeing is like as big as a regular bathroom, in the news bunker here.
It's true.
And very palatial. They have the bowl sink, the whole nine yards. But they also have 2 windows. And according to the controversy, that passengers flying in first class are very concerned about the brand new redesigned bathrooms because of the windows in the lavatories. And one woman who was traveling to New York was very concerned and complained about the lack of blinds. So there's not even you can't even pull down the shade. It's like, you know, you're there. And the ladies are very upset about all of this. So anyway, one of the flight attendants said, well, ma'am, if someone is clinging to the side of the aircraft at 35,000 feet, they've probably earned the view.
She's not wrong.
It's a fair point. Who's going to be spying in? A flock of geese? What the heck?
The birds are watching.
Well, that could be problematic. I mean, the head goose, you know, they fly. They have like one goose that sort of like is the commander of the geese brigade. I don't know what they call it. And a gaggle of geese.
Sure.
But if the goose gets a gander of what's going on in the lavatory and, you know, accidentally loses sight, loses focus, I mean, they could all end up in the engine.
Yeah.
So this could be actually a legitimate concern here.
And we all know geese are perverts, right?
Are they? I just know they have really weak constitutions.
Really long necks.
I mean, it's like walking in a minefield over at the park whenever the geese are there. I'm like, what are they feeding these people?
I think they like the sidewalk better than the grass.
Stop feeding them Taco Bell. Jesus, hello. Those chalupas. Man, they're wrecking those poor geese. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I'm not sure what that was all about. So, from Massachusetts, a grade school, Perry K through 6 school, big trouble there. The teachers decided to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. No, they didn't go to Taco Bell, Dylan, but no, not Del Taco either. The teachers decided to erect a billboard honoring the lives of people like Fidel Castro, Juan Perón, and Che Guevara. Now, you might be wondering, wait, what? Yeah, they're honoring the lives of three dangerous communist dictators who killed countless people during their regimes. That's brutal stuff. So the local newspapers there, the Boston Herald is all over this story, and they reached out to the principal, a guy by the name of Principal Brendan McGrath. Doesn't sound Hispanic to me. Mr. McGrath said that the materials were not properly vetted and should not have been displayed, and so he had to write an apology letter to the entire school community. Parents are somewhat horrified, and rightfully so. Can you imagine little Gary coming home from class, Mommy, I want to be Fidel Castro. I don't think that'll go over well. I really don't. Not in both Democrat and Republican households. As a matter of fact, the Democrat lawmaker representing this area is like, what are you people freaking crazy? What's going on down there at the school? Now, I find this very hard. I mean, I saw the letter. It was a lovely letter, and the principal seemed to be very sincere about it. He said that whoever came up with it was muy loco. No, I don't know. I just made that part up. But I probably would have written something like that. And the guy said it was just a simple mistake. Yeah, I'm not buying that. I'm really not, because there was a lot of thought that went into this. I mean, they pulled out quotes. Ah, sí, señor. We love killing people. I mean, these were really nasty quotes, and you had the pictures, and they spent money on this. So you can't tell me that this was just some random thing that they did. And I'd be willing to wager here a Dr. Pepper. I'll put a Dr. Pepper on the table for this, that one of those teachers actually does consider Fidel Castro a personal hero or idol or mentor. And that's what concerns me. Somebody wanted to do this. This was not some sort of an accident. But anyway, glad parents are all over this. And I'm also glad that the school did the right thing here. No doubt about it. And well done, Boston Herald. Some breaking news out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. We have a lot of listeners out in the eastern part of Tennessee. Turning Point USA. And may I just say, this is all because of our audience. What you guys did here is just unbelievable. So a Turning Point USA chapter at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, was rejected. So the students had to go to the Student Government Association, and they had to request to be an officially recognized and registered student organization. And so the Student Government Association group said no, because you people are guilty of hate speech violations. They offered no proof, no evidence, but these little moron kids were like, oh yeah, Turning Point USA, yeah, that's a hate group. So you're done. We're not letting you step foot on campus. So we did a story about this, and we posted it up at toddstearns.com and shared it on our social media pages. And when I tell you we have a large following on social media, we have a very large following on social media, and we have a lot of engagement. I mean, millions and millions of people read our stuff, and they share our stuff. And so we put out a call to action this morning. TPUSA confirmed that the Student Government Association denied the application, and they're all upset, and they rightly asked Tennesseans, look, is this university really representing your values? I mean, UTC is a taxpayer-funded school, and many are now saying that conservatives are just not welcome on campus. As a matter of fact, one mom said that her daughter was looking at going to school at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, which is a beautiful campus there. I mean, Chattanooga is just an incredibly beautiful town. And you had a parent say, my daughter is now worried about all of the hate and violence against Christians and conservatives at any university. And the decision to block the TPUSA chapter made her feel like UTC would not be a safe place to further her education as well. It's a fair argument, a fair point. Ann Elizabeth Matheny, who is a regional manager for TPUSA, called for state lawmakers to get involved. And she said, truthfully, there are only two options our leaders should be giving the university: let free speech prevail or defund them. That is, and that's the point here. And I appreciate Congressman John Rose. He's running for governor, and he's out there blasting the university leadership. He says it's a shame the leaders of UT Chattanooga are discriminating against TPUSA and allowing a lie to do so. The university is fearful of the truth. Yeah, I believe all of this. So anyway, we wrote the story. The story goes out there, and I mean millions of you. I don't know what it is, but millions of you responded to that story. And gosh, about 35, 40 minutes before we did the show, we're doing show prep, and we were actually going to lead with the story. It turns out that the university has now reversed course and said that they are going to allow the TPUSA chapter to exist. They're going to be an official club. The only reason they're doing that is because of you, the readers and listeners of Todd Stearns Show and ToddStearns.com. That's the only reason why. So well done you. You call, you email, you're very gracious about it. I know some of you are little hotheads. I know some of you probably gave them a piece of your mind, but that's okay. That's okay. But you called and you got involved, and that's like 90% of it. Dylan, I was just looking at our numbers just for the past month. 44 million views on our Facebook page. 44 million views.
So we're famous.
Well, you know, We don't like to boast. You know, nobody likes a braggart.
It's humble.
We're just sharing facts.
It's nice to know that many people are listening.
We deal in facts here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. True, so 44.1 million to be exact. Not that we're counting. But we are. All that to say that, you know, we don't go out there and put up the big billboards and do all that kind of stuff. We don't do that. That's not our style. But we do what we do, and we do it well. And whenever something is going on, you guys know that we're posting information out there, that it is important that information gets out there, and you guys do a great job of it. So well done to a couple of people. First of all, you, the great listeners, Congressman John Rose, a state representative, Jason Zachary, also got involved, and also the university. The university stepped in, and they did the right thing, and they fixed what these kids broke. Now, I don't think it's over, and it's not over. It shouldn't be over. The university actually may think it's over, but I don't think it should be. I think the university should go in now and disband the Student Government Association. Teach these little monsters a lesson. And they also ought to consider expelling any student that was responsible for discriminating against the conservative kids in the first place. Somebody like that doesn't deserve to be on the campus of a taxpayer-funded university. But that's just me. And you say, but Todd, what about grace? You're a Christian man. What about grace? Yeah, I got no grace. I got no grace for these people. Not anymore. Not after September 10th. I got no grace. They can stay in the country. They can get a job down at Walmart. How's that for grace? Well, I'm talking about the illegals. The illegals, they got to go. But I got no grace for these kids anymore. I've got none. These are people that want to kill us. These are people that want to silence us. And I can't turn away from that. We have to address this head on, ladies and gentlemen. We just have to. And we've gotten to this point because many of us have turned a blind eye. And unfortunately, Bonhoeffer was right. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And I think God is going to hold us responsible for a lot of the stuff that's happening in this country. I truly do. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. Wow. A little bit of breaking news here from the White House. That's a big meatball. President Trump just announcing that Columbus Day is back, so they're not going to be calling it Indigenous Peoples Day anymore. Columbus Day is back. The president making that announcement during a cabinet meeting just, well, moments ago inside the White House. The president says, "We're back, Italians. We're back." I love that. Anyway, good for you. Even some of the press corps broke out into applause. Yeah, that's very nice. Very good. So look, Marjorie Taylor Greene, we're going to get into this in the next hour, but I wanted to give you a heads up. Marjorie Taylor Greene making headlines, trending on the socials today. She says, oh, by the way, let me stop here for just a moment. And I do have a question. I mentioned the socials. There was a story that came out yesterday from CNN that most conservatives are getting their news now from X. So you guys are really not watching any of the big media groups. Many of you have stopped watching Fox News, and you're getting most of your news from Twitter, X. I want you to listen to this. Cut number 11, please.
Specifically Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you've noticed a shift here.
Oh, I would think so. I think there are a lot of folks who have been on Twitter and may have realized, wait a minute, there seem to be a lot more Republicans in my feed, especially since Elon Musk took over. And oh my goodness gracious, what a tremendous monumental shift on the regular news consumers on Twitter / X. You go back to 2021, the party ID margin. Democrats were 37 points more likely. You were 37 points more likely to be a Democrat on Twitter or X than a Republican. Jump ahead to this side of the screen. It's completely changed around. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now it's a 14-point lead for Republicans on Twitter / X. We're talking about a 51-point shift in the margin. And John and I were talking about it just before. You can see it with your own eyes. This is polling reflecting what you're seeing in the social media real world, where all of a sudden, John, you just see a lot more Republicans in your feed.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious. I love Data Dude from CNN. I love that guy. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, look, is this true? Conservatives, are you guys now getting most of your news and information from X? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Anyway, back to MTG for just a moment. Oh, my goodness gracious. MTG was on CNN. It's shocking a lot of people. She was on Wolf Blitzer show, pardon me, Blitzer, and Pamela Brown. And she says she was throwing a little bit of shade at the Trump White House. But she said something that caught my attention because I think this is true. And she's pointing out a concern that she has that the cost of living and the cost of things in America is not coming down under the Trump administration, right? It's just not. And a lot of people are really struggling, and especially younger Americans. MTG said that the cost of health insurance is now at crisis levels. She said that her constituents are telling stories about how they're paying $2,000 a month with $10,000 deductibles. She's getting calls from people that are saying that if the Affordable Care Act tax credits expire, they're not going to be able to have health insurance. They're going to have to drop it. Brown asked if Green was concerned about the cost of living that President Trump said he would lower. And she's saying that inflation has crushed people over the past 4.5 years, and the costs are simply not coming down. And she pointed out, look, that her apartment in Washington, the electricity bill, $100 more than it was last year. It's a reality. People's wages are not going up. That's another reality. And cost of prices, the cost and the prices are not coming down either. And she also said that she's got kids, 22, 26, 28. And she said that they're especially struggling. That age group is struggling right now. And she said, I'm going to be 1,000% fighting for them over any politician in any party. And she goes on to say, I can tell you right now, that generation, they are barely making it, and they are very hopeless for their future. I have heard many other people say the same thing. And that does give me pause for concern as we begin to focus on the midterms, and Republicans are going to be back in their district, and they're going to be campaigning, and they're going to be hearing this from their constituents. And I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, if you're hearing similar things from either your own kids, maybe you are experiencing this yourself, what do you want the Republicans to do to bring down the cost of things, whether it be groceries, whether it be gas prices, whether it be dealing with insurance? What do you want the Republicans to do? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be talking about that coming up in the next hour. We'll be right back, everybody.
From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. So there's a big controversy still brewing in Des Moines, Iowa, the nation's heartland, where the school board, this is just, it's insane. So the school board, it's a woke school board, and you got a bunch of white woke women on that board, and you pretty much know how the story's going to go from there. So they hired this guy named Ian Roberts, and he was, he is an illegal alien. He also had some big problems with his background, and a lot of stuff is coming out. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Met this guy at the Republican event I was honored to speak at there in Waterloo, Cedar Rapids area. David Sires, a state senator. David, good to have you with us today.
Hey, it's nice to be with you today, and thanks for coming up to that event. That was big.
It was a lot of fun. Huge crowd there in Waterloo. And, of course, Jeff Stein, KXEL, our great affiliate, and folks listening to us right now on KXEL. I didn't realize, you know, Stein is a, can we say that he's beloved?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's a great American patriot, that guy.
He is very much so. And, he does such a good job to really tell it like it is. And I like that about him.
You know, Senator, I want you to take us through this, this situation in Des Moines. I know the state is wanting to take action. You're wanting to take action. Tell us a little bit. What do we know about this Ian Roberts character?
Well, it's like you had pointed out, he's not a citizen, and he didn't really go through enough verification. I own a mobile home park, and I screen my people far more than they even did this guy, and then they went ahead and paid him almost $300,000 a year. Now, the thing that really blows my mind about him is if you had somebody come in who had no sort of education, and as far as I'm concerned, not a lot of experience with the educational format, teachers, etc., I think if you were truly a professional in the educating realm, you would have picked up on that within just a month or two. If you put somebody into my business world who didn't know anything and was just a complete scam, we would pick up on that. I don't know why they didn't, but you know, it makes you wonder when they do such a little background check. I always wonder what all else are they doing that's not on the up and up. You know, this school board is in charge of $673 million for their annual budget.
Wow.
And that's a tremendous amount. And the city of Des Moines, theirs is only $986 million for a year. So you've entrusted these people with that kind of taxpayer money. What else are they doing with it? So I went ahead and I contacted the State Board of Education, and I also contacted the State Department of Education and the State Board of Education. Heard nothing from them, and finally, only a day ago, an aide of the director called me back and just wanted to brush everything off. And, oh, you know, she had said she wanted this radical empathy for him. And what I'd rather have is a radical firing of all these people who let him in there. And it's amazing to me. And I come from a university town, which is the University of Northern Iowa. And that's what our whole goal is here at Northern Iowa, is we want to turn out great teachers. And we do. We used to be called Iowa State Teachers College back when my mom went there and finished. But anyway, the whole thing is so bad. And then the board wants to call themselves a victim because this guy came in and scammed them. Well, the victims here are truly the students that go to that school. After I'm done talking to you, I'm headed over to a middle school in my district. And, you know, if you don't have people that the students can look up to and say, hey, I want to be like that, I want to be honest, I want to be decent, then what have you done? You've really made the students the victims. So the whole thing is a mess, and it's such a big mess, you couldn't even make this stuff up. It's amazing. So
it's just shocking. I mean, here you've got a guy, and not only is he not in the country legally, but apparently he's had criminal offenses in his background, and he may not have the education history as, you know, that he said he had, which again is mind blowing. And I'm wondering who was responsible for vetting this guy.
Well, that's why you have a school board. The school board is supposed to be responsible for all those kinds of things. And they didn't want to take any sort of responsibility. They should have all resigned immediately and said, hey, wow, we did bad. This is not the right thing. But no, they want to pawn it off on their headhunter, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you what, if you truly were an educator and bumped into this guy, I don't know how he could be so good at pawning off all these degrees he had, and how they missed it, I don't have any idea. But if what I've started to find, being a freshman senator this year, is bureaucrats truly take up a lot of the work in government, where I believe it should be put to the people who are actually elected by the people. And that's really where I have a problem. I came from a local government position. I was a councilman at large. And I started to see that bureaucrats really were in charge of most everything. And I fought hard against that there. And I'm fighting now hard against it down at the state Senate. And it's just a society that we've turned into, where bureaucrats are actually being in charge of everything. And it's different because I come from business, started my own first business at 18 years old. And things don't have to work this slowly. Finally, yesterday, our governor said that we have to use E-Verify on hires. But that's like shutting the barn door after the horse is gone. Now they should, as far as I'm concerned, they better do it on everybody right now.
Retroactively, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to go back, and this is going to take just a second. ABC News actually did a pretty good job of putting together an outline of this guy, and it's not like we just have a few oopsies here and that he's an illegal or whatever. Back in 94, this guy entered the U.S. on a B2 non-immigrant visa. That's according to Homeland Security. In 1996, he's charged in New York with narcotics possession and intent to sell. So the guy was selling drugs. In 1998, he graduated from Coppin State University in Baltimore. In 98, charged with third-degree unauthorized use of a vehicle in New York City. That charge was eventually dismissed. In 99, enters the U.S. in San Francisco on a V-1 student visa. In 2000, files an application for employment authorization, then allegedly earns a master's degree from St. John's, runs in the Olympics. He filed for a green card in 2001, rejected. Then he pursued a doctorate at Morgan State, which he said he got, but the AP cannot verify that information. Then in 2012, convicted of reckless driving, unsafe operations, speeding in Maryland. And it goes all the way down to, 2010, where he faces multiple weapons charges, including criminal possession of a weapon. In 2020, he began serving as a superintendent in Pennsylvania, and his lawful employment authorization expired in 2020. He's convicted in 2022 of unlawful possession of a loaded firearm. Oh, my God, Senator, this is insane.
Yeah, like I said, you can't make this stuff up. It is insane. And they did not do their due diligence to find out all about him before they hired him. They were just excited. He looked like a DEI hire, and there they went. And I don't think they would have cared even if they'd found it. Some of the things they actually did find but looked the other way. We've got to have reassurance that our kids are getting a great education and that they have good people with accountability above them. And, you know, the guy was getting paid, I think with benefits, it was right around $300,000. And I don't think he did much more than walk around and high-five the kids. I have no idea what he even did down there. So, and I had heard when he was out east there that he had went to some of his teachers and said, hey, we've got to bring our grades up, so just go ahead. These people, you're going to fail, you know, go ahead and pass them on. So that's the way he was inflating grades from the last places he was at. So it's amazing to me. It just goes on and on. But for them to have no remorse like they do, that school board, I'm embarrassed for them. It's embarrassing.
Is there a stomach, Senator, for the state stepping in and taking over? And is there a mechanism where you guys can come in and literally take over the school district there in Des Moines?
Oh, no, absolutely. There's actually an Iowa code, 25611, that outlines the standards, and the State Board of Education, when it comes to school accreditation, the board actually took over in 2019, Davenport, Iowa, and had control of the district for 3 years. I had called on them to do that immediately right now. But no, they just don't do anything fast, and they have to make their decisions. And it's embarrassing. It really, truly is. The people who have gotten to be in charge over all these years have just slowed things down to a crawl. It wouldn't take me that long to clean this mess up.
Well,
but
I'd be demanding resignations. This is just insane. Just insane. By the way, Senator, the President of the United States makes $400,000 a year. And how much was the superintendent making in Des Moines, Iowa?
I think it was around 280.
Wow.
And then he had benefits on top of that. So I think it was right around 300,000. Yeah, it's just shocking. And
wow.
And what he did, I have no idea. The city administrator in Des Moines, you know, this is in Cedar Falls, my own home community, they make $230,000 a year. No, our president doing a great job. I appreciate everything he does. And this guy was getting almost $300,000 a year, and it's amazing. And what he did, I'm bet not much of anything other than high five the kids and act like he was their friend. So for that kind of money, I could certainly do. I am their friend. Like I said, we're headed over to one of my middle schools in my district here right after I finish with you. And, you know, the kids are sharp. I don't know why that we score so low on all the charts, but it is amazing. And when I graduated from Cedar Falls High School in 1979, my wife did too. We met our first day at kindergarten. We were number one in the state in Iowa in 1979 was number one in education in the nation.
Wow.
So we've fallen a long ways from that.
Yeah, we have. Indeed. Senator, we're going to leave it there. Super late for a break, but we're going to stay on top of this and let us know what happens out there.
I will. And thanks much. You can always go to State Senator Sires on Facebook. There's a lot of comments on there, and it's got a few things of the stuff that's going on. So I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. There you go, folks. State Senator David Sires from the great state of Iowa. Just remarkable. These school superintendents, this is a racket. You're telling me that the president of the United States making $400,000 a year and the superintendent in Des Moines, Iowa, making $300,000. And you heard him say Cedar Falls, making $200,000 a year. Are you kidding me? These are your tax dollars, ladies and gentlemen. These are your tax dollars. All right, 901-260-5926. Going to the phones when we come back. We'll be right back.
From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Jerry in Iowa, listening to us on KXEL. Jerry, what's on your mind today?
So, yeah, I'm leaving for Israel in a couple weeks, and I just want to chat about the so-called Gaza peace deal, if I may.
Yeah, why do you call it so-called?
Well, because, I mean, I'm really looking forward to celebrating if and when the hostages actually get back. Because, you know, we've been through this. I've been watching this for 45 years. I did a report on it in high school 45 years ago. And this is a very cyclical thing. Trump is not going to be president forever. Book of Jeremiah says, peace, peace, but there is no peace. I mean, when the Palestinians and Hamas and the Arab world is happy with the deal, you have to ask yourself, well, what's wrong with this? And I want the hostages back. I really do. God, you know, praise God when that happens. But when the Turks go in and people go in, they're going to safely give passage to these terrorists, and they're going to live to fight another day. And so what I really believe needs to happen is kind of along the lines of what Huckabee is saying. Huckabee is now U.S. policy under Trump that we are pressuring Israel in a nice way to annex Judea and Samaria. So the world's not going to love us forever. And the Gazans, if they stay there, when Trump's gone someday, they're just going to do it again. That's what they do. The Gaza needs to be also.
So what do you recommend? So what do you recommend the president do then?
I think he's doing a great job. He needs to follow through. And after the hostages get out, we need to look at turning Gaza into whatever Israel wants. It just can't go back. There is no Palestinian state. Judea and Samaria should be Judea and Samaria, not the West Bank. So this is really not over. So I'm okay with I'm happy with what's going on now. I'm going to go over to Israel with my son, and we're gonna be vacation, and we're gonna tourist, and then I would like to get into Gaza with some Christian aid and the gospel. But we're gonna be celebrating and happy for everything. But the long game is, the Bible says in Genesis 18, I think it's 15:18 or 18:15. I got that backwards. That all the land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, that goes to Israel, and that is the long plan. And so the Gazans and the Palestinians, you cannot live next door to them, because this will cycle forever. And I just heard Trump on TV a little while ago say that he is not giving his view on a two-state solution, which that's what we're talking about here. There that's just like evil as Hades. There can never be a two-state solution.
Well, what if Trump does that? There's a reason he said that. The way there's a reason for everything the president says, there's always a reason, and that tells me they may be considering that.
Well, that's just the return of Christ, which is going to happen. You cannot live next door to terrorists who will stab you in the middle of the night. They will slit your throat. If you hire them, they will map out your town, and they will. That's where the invasion will happen. You can never, ever trust the Palestinians. Nobody likes them anyway.
Well, no. I mean, there's a reason why no other countries in the Middle East want them, including the Arab nations. I will say this. Israel coming out and saying there will not be an end to the war if Hamas doesn't hand over all 48 living and deceased hostages. So, and they have to completely disarm. So we'll see how this plays out. I mean, right now, everybody's agreeing to it. And I think that's great news. Jerry, thank you for the call. And I get it. I mean, it's, it's the Republican Party's position on Israel is changing. Whether you like it or not, it's changing. And it could be a two-state solution. You may not like it, but that may be where all of this is heading. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
Oh boy, Bad Bunny's at it again. Bad Bunny. So he's the Puerto Rican sensation there, and he is going to be performing in the Super Bowl halftime show. And it turns out he told everybody, if you can't understand Spanish, you got 4 months to learn the language. I don't know about you, Dylan, and I know you're a big sports fan, but I'm not going out and spending money on Rosetta Stone.
Nah.
That's just...
I'll pass.
So apparently he was, what, at the game last night?
At the Blue Jays game.
The Blue Jays game.
Yes.
And they're singing God Bless America. And his Puerto Rican ass was in the chair when everybody else was standing up.
Of course.
What's the Puerto Rican word for... Sorry, the Spanish word for ass?
I don't want to butcher that.
El Batuco.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right. His El Batuco was in El Cito. That's unacceptable. But again, that tells you who this guy is. So anyway, now we're getting word that Turning Point USA is going to be doing an alternative halftime show. And it's all going to be about faith, family, and I guess all of the people who sang at the memorial. They haven't released the full, spread of singers. But I wonder if everything will be in English.
I'm sure it will.
You think so? It's just got to be fun. And man, I'm about to cause problems here for everybody. I don't need a worship service at halftime of the Super Bowl, okay? I get that at church.
Yeah.
I just don't need the same song with the lyric over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
That's fair.
Which is pretty much every Christian music worship song out there.
We'll see what they do, I guess.
What? Luke Symbol is enraged over here. Luke Symbol, our Republican strategist. You can leave now if you want to, Luke. It's safe.
You are so right. My parents were church planters when I was growing up, and this was the type of church with the smoke machines and the electric guitars and the guys with jeans and flip-flops playing the guitar on stools, that kind of thing. And you're right. It's the same line over and over again.
I don't know if you're singing to God or you're singing to your girlfriend. I can't, and it's that versatile.
Yeah, well, some of the songs are, yes, but
but if you're going to do a halftime show, I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that people are going to be angry at me for this. Does that make me a bad Christian?
They need to play some country music stars.
Right.
Exactly. Do that. Everybody loves it. It's not inappropriate. Nobody's going to be grabbing anything wrong like the typical halftime show. It's just faith, family, country, but maybe more on the country.
You know what, guys? I've got it. Dylan, I have it. Because we had to do the breaking news yesterday that Dolly Parton is still alive. I think we bring Dolly Parton in as a whole proof of life thing.
That would be huge.
Right? Dolly Parton at halftime at the Super Bowl. Everybody's happy.
That would be like when the halftime, like when Michael Jackson did the halftime show, the viewers actually went up during halftime and then back down during the game. That would be what happens with Dolly Parton.
I think it would. Get Reba out there and Hank Jr. I mean, we could, I don't know, we could do a really nice kind of like, you know, big montage.
Love it.
Dylan, what do you think? You're a big music guy.
I think we should get all the people that have covered Jolene and put them on the stage together.
Oh, God.
So Beyonce, Miley Cyrus, some other people, and Dolly.
All right. So we were seeing, so we had a thing at Fox News, and I don't know why, but just randomly, people would start playing Jolene over the intercom system at Fox. And we would stop what we were doing, and everybody would start singing. And so Robin Poffman, who's one of our regulars on the show, she and I were cubicle mates in the newsroom. And she would be singing at Jolene in her New Jersey accent. But she thought Jolene was saying, stop chucking my wood. But it was like, stop doing so-. I forget the song lyrics. But I don't think that was it. I'm like, Robin, I don't think that's what Dolly's singing here. No, we're not chucking wood.
It's about taking Dolly's man. I mean, yeah, that's the whole theme of the song.
See, there you go. Yeah. There you go. So I like the idea. I think we've resolved the issue. So Turning Point USA, tell the K-Love crew to stand down. We appreciate Chris Tomlin, but, you know, it's like every freaking song on K-Love. I'm just having a day.
You are really in a mood today. The vibe here is strong.
So, Luke, the big breaking news locally is the National Guard in Memphis, Tennessee has finally arrived, from what we understand, and they are boots on the ground. And I'm just curious, what are people saying, and how's the vibe in Memphis, Tennessee these days?
People are so excited about getting their communities back, about taking back the streets from the criminal, from taking back our parks from the criminal and the mentally ill and giving it back to the law-abiding. Folks are really fired up. This is like another 80-20 issue that the Democrats are totally on the wrong side of. I mean, the local Democrats here are like pushed against the wall, and they're talking about democracy and oppression and occupation, while the vast majority of citizens are like, man, we think that this is a great thing. They're totally out of touch, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, here's a guy that was talking, I think it was on TikTok, and he was talking about what life is like now in Memphis, now that you've got literally hundreds of law enforcement officers here. We're hearing as many as 1,000 National Guard troops are on the way. They could be here for at least a year. And here's what one guy had to say. Cut number 9.
I could make this up. I would, but I can't. So with that being said, let's get right into it. Look, the Safe Task Force done made 273 arrests in just under a week of them being in the city. Man, them folks not playing at all. Look, the streets are so quiet now. I ain't seen not a thing going on. But that's how it should have been all along.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got a great point there that this is the way it should have been all along, and there's no reason why city leaders could not have stepped in, the governor could not have stepped in and said, you know what, we're going to fix this. And by the way, more than 500 people arrested now, according to Pam Bondi.
575 or something.
Wow.
Look, here's the thing. Right now they're picking up people who had outstanding warrants, and what this tells us is they knew where these people were. These are folks that commit crimes over and over and over again. They've been arrested once before. There's current warrants out for their arrest, and we just weren't picking them up. So I don't know if the local police department just didn't have the manpower, if they didn't have the resources to go into these neighborhoods. Were the gangs controlling whole neighborhoods that the police couldn't even enter, and it takes the feds to do this? I don't know, but we don't have to live like this, and that's what folks around the country need to understand, is you can demand more from your local leaders, from your state government. It shouldn't take the feds coming in. However, if the feds do have to come in, they should be welcomed with open arms when you have a crime problem.
I want to talk about this situation, and because this has made national news, Politico, The Hill, everybody's talking about what's happening with Congressman Steve Cohen, and you've got Power Fro Justin Pearson, and he's out there challenging the sitting congressman. He is a far radical leftist. And I'm wondering, when you look at what's happening in, for example, Middle Tennessee with another a Democrat nominee who is of the same ilk as Justin Pearson, but she's a white female chick, but still of the same political cloth. What's going on with the Democrats right now?
They are becoming more and more radical and more unhinged. You know, you would think after the 2024 election, you would think after the backlash to wokeness, to BLM, to the race baiting, to the nonsense, the country is trying to move on from that terrible, terrible period. And the Democrats are doubling down, and they're becoming more radical and more crazy. This Justin Pearson is so radical. I mean, I don't know how anybody votes for him, but he does have a contingent. It's disgusting. He doesn't denounce political violence. He tries to shut down any sort of progress in the city, whether it's businesses coming to town. It's like his goal is to destroy what we're trying to protect.
So I think this is interesting. Politico said that this particular race illustrates the generational divide in the Democrat Party. And they're pointing out that a lot of outside groups are going to be dumping millions of dollars into this race. David Hogg is going to be generating about $1 million for Justin Pearson. And the shocker here is I thought Steve Cohen was like 90. The guy's only 76 years old. I didn't realize, you know.
Well, and I had heard that there were some people had seen him in wheelchairs recently. I know that he's not well, but people do seem to like him in his district. I think he's ridiculous. You know, I don't think you can bring a bucket of KFC onto the floor of the House and be serious. But Justin Pearson is dangerous, and it's really interesting to see where this money is coming from. You know, whether it's from Soros, these far left progressives who I really think their goal is to destabilize the country rather than build and make the country better. And so I don't know what's going to happen with this race, but we do need to watch it. And I really hope people reject his radicalness.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that. I don't think they can. And when you look at Jasmine Crockett, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, you've got Ilhan Omar, AOC. I mean, these, what's the guy, Maxwell Frost out of Florida? These are all the young guns. And these are the ones, I think, Luke, who are really controlling the Democrat Party and keeping the government shut down. By the way, the government is still shut down, people. I don't know if people may have forgotten that, but the government's still shut down.
Yeah, I mean, and you've talked about this Schumer being so terrified of AOC that he's kind of forced to keep the government shut down right now, and he has to participate in this No Kings, whatever that is, protest. We're going to have one locally, and Pearson looks like he's running it. I mean, it's just, they're radical. I really do think that they're out of touch with the vast majority of people, and I'm hoping that some of the more moderate folks in the Democrat Party start waking up and see the danger that's coming.
Luke Symbol joining us here in our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker studio today, and a lot going on nationally as we're watching the Schumer shutdown unfold. I think this is a long thing. I don't see this ending anytime soon. And the Democrats are backed into a corner, and they're fighting. I mean, that whole thing with, we call him a Hoctua Jeffries, going at it there and saying, shut your mouth. I'm like, wait, what?
Did you see they clipped that? The White House just put out a video. They clipped it, and they put a sombrero on his head while he's saying, shut your mouth.
Si, senor. I love that. I love it. It's
so good.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. But they're backed into a corner here, and I mean, how do you surrender?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But I think Republicans need to continue just getting on the airwaves, getting on the television shows, and bashing the Democrat Party. Don't stop. They're losing. We have them backed up against the wall. And I think we just need to continue. The Democrats are on their heels on every single major issue that's being talked about right now. I've never seen anything like it, and we just have to continue.
You think they're doing a good job, the Republicans, of the messaging here?
I think the White House, you know, the first few months of the administration, they were getting their feet under them, and I think these videos that they're doing with the sombreros, just making fun of the Democrats and their ridiculous positions, I think that is so important. I think the messaging right now is really, really strong, and we just need to continue all the way from the White House down locally, folks, down locally. Talk about crime, talk about education, and back the Democrats against the wall.
I'm with you 1,000% there, and I think Speaker Johnson needs to be committed, and Speaker Thune as well. getting those confirmations through in mass, it just had to be done. And now the president is talking about maybe thousands and thousands of layoffs. I say, you know what? Just let it happen.
Yep.
And it's, and again, blame the Democrats every single step. Every other word ought to be, it's the Democrats' fault. It's Schumer's shutdown.
I totally agree. And I think we lay those people off and we total up how much we are saving the American taxpayer. And then Trump can choose how what he wants to fund that's popular with the American people and say, it's because I laid off these folks who weren't doing anything. It's because of these tariffs I was able to fund this. And I think they just sell it to the American people and don't let up.
I want you to listen to this. Rutgers University, and there's been a lot of controversy over there. These are students that are now calling for a global intifada. Cut number three, please. Okay, enough of these little urchins. So here's the deal. Here's the deal, Luke. So that's okay at Rutgers University. You know what's not okay? A Turning Point USA chapter. There's actually a petition underway to shut down Rutgers University's and disband their TPUSA chapter because they say TPUSA created a toxic environment. They're literally calling for killing of Jews, and I would dare say Christians as well here. That's okay, but God forbid you have a TPUSA chapter.
This violence on the left is being, they are openly talking about it. They have been doing it for years. This goes back decades, honestly. I mean, you can go to the 70s, but the violence on the left, particularly recently, is unacceptable. And we have got to call it out. And I commend the Trump administration for seriously considering labeling Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. I think that has to be done. We have to start dismantling these groups. We have to start following the money. But the radicalization of our students on these college campuses, literally promoting murder and genocide, is completely unacceptable. And we have to keep talking about it. And folks, don't send your kids to these schools. If you have a little money saved up for your kids to go to college, don't let them go to schools like this where this kind of crap is happening. It's unacceptable.
Well, it is unacceptable. And my warning here, these Democrats are dangerous and they're weaponized.
Yep.
And if Dollar Store Obama comes after you and starts telling you to shut your mouth and put you got to watch yourself because you don't know if he's packing. He might pull a knife. You don't know. You just don't know. Jay Jones out of Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
That guy starts talking about you. Whoever he's talking about needs police protection. Because that's that guy's unhinged and he's a lunatic, Luke.
Unhinged, and you blame the voter. If he is voted in office, you blame the Democrat voters for that, not just the elected.
Yeah, we had Josh Jones on a couple of days ago, and he said, you donate to that campaign, that's on you.
Yep, I totally agree. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, Luke Symbol. Wow, a little fired up today.
Wow.
TPUSA, Dolly Parton. Just go ahead and mark it down, Dolly Parton. All right, got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. Big news, Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk, ladies and gentlemen, just before he passed, he actually wrote the foreword to a new book called Pagan Threat. Pastor Lucas Miles, the author. This book could very well save America. Charlie wrote in the foreword, you've got to read, internalize, and share this book, and it has a plan to stop the wokeism infecting America. Already a number one Amazon bestseller, and now you can get Pagan Threat free with Newsmax's special offer. Save $30. Go to paganthreat.com online right now. That's paganthreat.com. Paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com.
From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
And welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So look, we'll open this up to the phones, to the great listeners. Who would you guys like to see if Bad Bunny gets the heave-ho, who would you like to see in the halftime show at the 60th playing of the Super Bowl? Super Bowl 60. Who would you like to see? No, it can't be Michael Jackson. He's, you know, well, I mean, I guess you could. You could do an AI version, but that would be a little weird. I'm just saying.
You do a hologram.
Well, I guess you could. Those kind of creep me out, but yeah, I guess you could.
They creep me out too.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
I want Chris Stapleton. That's my vote.
Chris Stapleton.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Classic.
You know what I mean, though? I just don't think you can have like a worship band.
I agree. Not for the Super Bowl.
Because people are going to be half drunk out of their mind.
That doesn't mix well.
No. Amazing Grace. No, that wouldn't work. So who would you like, ladies and gentlemen, if we give Bad Bunny the heave-ho? I'm in so much trouble. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. But you know it's true. I'm just saying. Those aren't Baptist martinis they're hoisting back. We'll be right back, everybody.
From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have made it to hour three, everybody. Welcome. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So in the last hour, we were talking about replacements for Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny did not stand for God Bless America at the baseball game yesterday. Already a lot of controversy around this guy. I personally recommended Dolly Parton only because there have been some questions about whether or not she was, you know, what's the polite way of saying this, still with us. So I thought Dolly would be a great choice. Many of you, though, have suggestions. Let's go to Mark in Raleigh, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Mark, what's your recommendation for the halftime show?
I think we should have President Donald Trump do a mini Trump rally.
Oh, like one of the old school Trump rallies.
Yes, sir. That's the most American thing that I've seen in years. It's the most entertaining thing that I've seen in years. And we need some good American entertainment at the halftime show, not some bad hombre guy that doesn't speak English.
Muy loco. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I kind of like this idea. So maybe we could do YMCA. Trump could do the dance, bring up Melania.
I would love it. I would actually watch it. I don't watch halftime, and I don't watch the commercials, and I just barely watch the NFL anymore. They just too woke for me.
I hear you, Mark. I like your idea. This is a great idea. I will pass this along to the White House, and maybe they can help intervene. And I would say this, Mark, it would be the most watched halftime show of all time.
It would. And I also want to say thank you, Todd, for getting the president to send the troops to Memphis. I can actually go out and do something at night again for once in 20 years.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So have you noticed a vibe change in Memphis?
Oh, I've noticed the vibe, and I've seen them with people pulled over. And the word is, don't do anything wrong. Don't spit on the sidewalk right now.
You know, Mark, I honked my horn at somebody the other day, and you know what happens around here. You're not allowed to do that. But I honked my horn, and nobody shot at me. And I'm like, wow, thank God for the National Guard.
Things are changing.
Things are changing. They're changing. All right, Mark. Thank you for that. Thank you for that call. 901-260-5926 if you have a recommendation for halftime. I want to go right away, though, to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have a good friend of this program. She's a Marine Corps veteran, so you know she's a great lady, Kate Monroe. Kate, I'm curious, you know, with this whole Bad Bunny controversy, who do you like as a replacement?
I've actually been thinking about this quite a lot, and I think that they should do a country music stars, like maybe Morgan Wallen, Chris Stapleton, Lainey Wilson, and do like a trio and have them each do something. I think that would be amazing. I think America would love that. It would be way more patriotic and more fun and more Americana. And I think that our country wants that right now. But I'm not opposed to what the gentleman said, you know, bring Trump on, because you are correct. It would be the most watched Super Bowl in history.
It would be fun. I mean, or maybe like some old school marching bands, you know, get the military bands out there, and we could go old school and really have a lot of fun. Love America.
Agreed. God forbid we, like, you know, hear the flag flapping, you know, the fireworks going off. God forbid we have a little Reagan-era patriotism. I would love that.
Right, exactly. Kate, I know you've spent a lot of time in Portland, and there has been a lot of controversy over the conditions there, and you've got city leaders that are saying everything is fine, there's nothing wrong here. Meanwhile, you have citizens that are out there and business owners that are saying, this is nuts. And we need somebody to come in. I want you to listen to some business owners begging President Trump to save the city. Cut number 12, please.
Has crime impacted your businesses?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, yesterday morning, I was broken again for the 10th time. I will say that the police responded very quickly, which was a better ticket times as far as getting them to the site quicker. So that was very helpful.
Wow. How do you feel about National Guard in Portland? What do you think about that? What are your thoughts?
We need help here, and something needs to be done. So if this is what we need to do to get our leaders paying attention to what's happening in Portland, then I think it's a good thing. We've been struggling for a long time since 2020, and it's really difficult to do business in downtown Portland, and we need all the help we can get. And if this creates a little bit of peace in our city and shows that there really is some issues happening, then I think that it's for the best.
Yeah. Kate, what do you say about that?
I mean, I absolutely agree with her. I've been to Portland many times. In fact, I took my older son up, and we did a walk. I always go find homeless veterans. That's part of our mission at VetCom. And we had a woman smoke fentanyl above our heads get us so high, we almost ended up having to go to the hospital. I've walked all over the place, but Portland is one of the most insidiously nasty areas for, I mean, there's women that get picked up almost every night and brutally assaulted and just chucked back on the street, and nobody does a thing about it. There's drug dealers on every corner, about every 4 feet when you're in downtown Portland. There's open drugs laying on the ground. It's just a hideous, nasty city that absolutely needs to get in line. And when people are opposed to National Guard, I always ask them, let's imagine that you live in a suburb and your house is on fire. Would you not want all your cool neighbors to come and help put this fire out? All the dudes with the trucks, all the guys with the skills, all of these people, these are your neighbors. That's what National Guard is. These are the people that live in America. Their job is to stand by us here at home and handle things like this. I don't know a single person who really wants this level of crime and just open drugs, homelessness, and lawlessness, and, you know, this lack of support for ICE. I don't know who wants that. Who is standing on that? I haven't met one of these people other than on the news.
No, I haven't either. And the idea that you've got the police chief out in Portland now saying that his job is to protect Oregonians, including the protesters, that guy's literally saying that he is going to stand alongside Antifa when the federal troops come in. I mean, it's a dangerous thing. But we can't have that sort of mentality. We're hearing that in Portland, in Chicago, where the stand down orders were given. I mean, it's just unacceptable what's happening out there. Kate, I want to switch gears, though, real quick, because you have an incredible organization called VetCom. That's VetCom.us. And you are doing so much to help those who served our great nation. Of course, you being a veteran as well. And you've got a piece up on Town Hall talking about the Schumer shutdown, And it's an interesting approach because, and you rightly point out, that Democrats are prioritizing illegals over American veterans with the Schumer shutdown.
And I love that you call it the Schumer shutdown. They've been calling it the Democrat shutdown because you are putting people at risk that are already having major mental health struggles. They're already at the brink where they're barely able to afford groceries, and they're sitting at home scared by themselves because you have chosen to continue to support and go the wrong direction and try to support all these illegal migrants. They never learn their lesson on the left. And if you want an all-out revolt between active duty, you know, service members, veterans, and all of their friends and family, this is the way to do it. If you want to absolutely lose your party once and for all, keep going the wrong direction. It disgusts me as somebody who helps these veterans. We've got almost 1,000 calls now of veterans absolutely in a panic and wondering how we could possibly stand for this as a nation. It's despicable.
Let's talk about VETCOM and the services that you provide our veterans. There are so many service members that listen to this show. Tell us a little bit about VETCOM.us.
So VETCOM, our whole mission is to make the claim filing process with the VA less of a hassle, less anxious, with less bureaucracy. It's engineered for in less than 4 to 6 months for you to be able to successfully make your claim, get it rated, and get you paid. Most veterans listening right now, if they are not rated, are likely owed more than $2,000 a month for the rest of their life. And we want to make sure that we get that tax-free money into their hands so that they are not at the brink of homelessness, so that they are able to send their kids to school. We have helped 18,000 veterans get $7 billion in lifetime income in the last calendar year. And we expect next year to help 30,000 veterans. There's nothing that a veteran could be doing right now, higher purpose for them and their family to get rated, because you are going to establish generational wealth path for you and your family. Nothing is more important than doing that.
And again, folks, the website address, VETCOM, that's VETCOMM.us. And I understand, Kate, I mean, it's a super simple, easy to navigate website. And we've got to talk about on the right-hand side, free claim review. That's pretty cool.
Yes, we give every single person the opportunity to have a 20-minute strategy call. And it's not a hostage situation. You know, get on the call, figure out what you are owed, if we're a good fit for you or not, but you will be smarter if you take the call. There's no reason. Like, I talked to a gentleman this morning, and he realized after talking to me that he likely missed out on $792,000 in compensation by today, but he has the same number of years to live left. He still has $792,000 ahead of him to gain. So,
wow.
You know, it's never too late. There's no reason not to do it. You do qualify, and we will get you there.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work, and I just think...
You really are.
No, you really are. I mean, these veterans... You know, for me, the illegal immigration thing is a black and white issue, because every single dollar that is going to help an illegal is one less dollar that could be going to a veteran. And I've always had a problem with that. And so we've got to take care of our people, and especially our veterans.
Oh, 1,000%. How we would prioritize them over any other, you know, part of the population always baffles me. But you only see it on one side of the aisle. It's not that all lawmakers don't care, about veterans. It's that a certain subset of lawmakers care more about them staying in office than they care about the people that they serve, whether they be veterans or not. It's a very self-serving, very grifting sort of thing that they do. And for me, I can't stand idly by and watch us go quietly into the night. Me and the 220 people that work at VETCOM, we will stand in that gap day in and day out, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I love that. All right. Well, Kate, we're going to leave it there. And folks, again, VETCOM.us, that's VETCOMM.us. Go and check it out. Get that free claim review. Maybe you know a veteran, disabled veteran. Make sure that they get access to this. And you can always claim your free claim review right there on the website. Kate, always good
Thank you so much.
My friend. Okay.
You as well.
All right. Great lady right there and great patriot. And they really are doing the Lord's work, helping out our veterans and making sure they get what they're owed from our government, standing up for freedom in this country. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. We've got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in. Let's go to New Bern, North Carolina. Ronnie is listening to us on the talk station. Ronnie, I hear you've got a suggestion for the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. I think we need to go ahead and just go on and put Kid Rock out there, because he's the only one
in late times that I can think of that is a true American that will absolutely stand for his rights, the ones around him and for us. Maybe throw some Chris Stapleton in there. Laney Wilson, I mean, you could have a smorgasbord out there and just have a really good time representing us.
I love that. You know, he looked good in the Oval Office, I'll tell you. He was decked out in that red, white, and blue kind of Grand Ole Opry-style suit there, Kid Rock was. So President Trump is a big fan of his, and I like this idea. I like Kid Rock. We'll put him on the list. Ronnie, good call. Let's go to Maria in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hi, Maria. What say you?
Hi, Todd. Super Bowl suggestion. Also, I nominate Laney Wilson. She'll definitely put on a show. And I think that that would somewhat set the record straight when a couple of few years ago the Country Music Award was not given to her, but to Jay-Z's wife, Beyonce, instead. So I nominate Laney Wilson. I also like Kid Rock. That's a great idea.
I love that. Maria, so we got Laney Wilson down, Kid Rock in the follow-up. So if Laney's got something going down, we'll put you down for Kid Rock as well. And, you know, we can't forget about John Rich. You know, he's a big Trump dude.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right, I love these ideas.
We have a lot of options besides the one that we're trying to be shoved down our throats.
Yeah. We don't need a bad bunny. Nobody wants to see that.
Bad choice.
Bad bunny. All right, Maria, thank you. 901-260-5926. No, I mean, remember back in the day, I mean, the halftime shows, it used to be a major cultural event and moment, and people used to really enjoy that kind of stuff, and now it's just kind of gone downhill. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
Hello, this is Tammy Shaw from High Point, North Carolina, and I think they should get Kid Rock to do the halftime show. He could really make what, the halftime show great again? Because it hadn't been great these last few years. But anyway, I vote for Kid Rock.
All right, well, thank you, for, Tammy. Tammy listening to us in High Point on WSJS, our great affiliate there. By the way, you can send us a shout-out just like Tammy did by downloading our free app. You can listen to us wherever you are across America, and you can send us a shout-out just like Tammy did. By the way, well done, Tammy, and appreciate you calling us. By the way, Dylan, Billboard actually has ranked the top all-time Super Bowl halftime shows. Number 10, Paul McCartney. Number 9, the Rolling Stones.
Those are good so far.
So far. Michael Jackson is coming in at number 8.
I would disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Number 7, Lady Gaga.
Definitely disagree.
You're going to love. Well, it's not getting much better. I'm just going to tell you right now. Coming up, if I can get my computer right here, let's see here. Bruce Springsteen. I think I skipped over some. Hold on just a second here. Madonna's in there.
Okay.
Let me back up here. My computer's acting a little goofy. Number 7 is Lady Gaga. All right. Number 6 is Madonna. I don't know. That's back in 2002. She's what, 70 now or something?
Something.
She's getting on up there. And then you've got Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
Okay.
Coming in number 5. Number 4, and again, these are the all-time, Beyonce, back in 2013. And then you've got number 3, Dr. Dre and Friends.
That was okay. I wouldn't put it at 3. Definitely not above Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's. I'm surprised Michael Jackson is so far down. U2 is number two.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm serious. This is coming from Billboard.
What's number one?
The all-time, I don't disagree with this one, the all-time Super Bowl halftime performance, 2007, the year of our Lord, Prince.
Yep. It's got to be him.
Yeah.
But I would put Bruno Mars up there. With I would put him at two or three.
So Bruno Mars, Bruno Mars did make the list, but they're like, what? It's like.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's not like. They're in the top. These are the top 14. And let's see, 14 was Coldplay and Beyonce. And then I think Bruno Mars.
That's, yeah. Bad Billboard. Bad.
Yeah, that's weird. All right. We're bad Billboard. 901-260-5926. Oh, Katy Perry's on the list. What? Come on. Number 12. I don't know about that. And Rihanna. I want to figure out, I want to know who came up with the list. That's what I want to know. Oh, hang tight. Got to take a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
Dylan, how do we feel about Chapel Roan? Do we have an opinion?
Chapel Roan, the drag singer wannabe.
Oh,
the
is
drag
that
queen
is
wannabe?
It, I was going to ask, and I'm so sorry. Is that a dude or a?
It is a woman.
Oh, so she's a she.
She is a she.
Okay,
but her whole shtick is like drag, and she likes to wear the big makeup.
Oh.
She's very popular in the music scene.
Okay.
But I don't like her that much.
So this is interesting. Fox Sports, Dylan, they did a, you know what? Let's go to, you know, we gotta go to John, WDUN, because let's do John, the first John from WDUN. He's been holding on for a while. John, thanks for holding on. So who do you recommend for the Super Bowl halftime show?
Hey, Todd, I heard that Alan Jackson's going to do one final performance before he retires for his medical issues. And I thought Alan Jackson and friends for the Super Bowl would be awesome.
Oh, I like that. That's a great idea, John. All right, we've got you down. We've got you down, John. Did someone say Jasmine Crockett for the Super Bowl? Who said that? Oh, my.
Yeah, someone wanted Jasmine Crockett to be the, I don't know what she would do. Maybe just
scream,
cuss out people. I don't know.
Cuss people out. I don't know. Okay. Jasmine Crockett. There we go. Let's go to Memphis. Carrie listening to us on KWAM KWAM. Hi, Carrie. So what's your thought?
My thought on this Super Bowl, Lee Greenwood.
Of course.
But listen, I had a second thought. I think the people who go to the game for halftime, how about we just turn halftime into our Charlie Kirk tribute?
Well, we could certainly do that. You know, I think, you know, for the halftime show, I think it has to be something uplifting and fun and energetic. You know, there are going to be a lot of people there. Some of them will be, you know, drinking. So there's going to be a lot of adult libations that are consumed. So I like where you're going with it, but I think Lee Greenwood halftime, I love it. And you know who's, oh, geez, Lou, who's the guy that sang the Squirrel Went Berserk song?
Ray Stevens.
Lee Greenwood, Ray Stevens. That might be fun. Maybe some Weird Al.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, Carrie, I like where you're going with this. So Lee Greenwood, we'll check in with old Lee, see what he's up to. Let's go to Spike in Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hey, Spike. All right, lay it on us.
Okay, I say get rid of all the music acts and bring back the kids' punt, pass, kick championships like they used to do.
Wow. Did they use how long ago did they do that?
I don't know. I remember we would all watch it, and then when it was over, we'd all go out and play in the streets. So it was a while, but it was fun watching 11-year-olds throw 60-yard passes, and it was way more fun than watching music.
Yeah, I'd love that. Maybe we get Arch Manning out there to put him up against the 11-year-olds.
Yeah, it was a great time back then.
All right, Spike, I love the idea. So Spike says, can all the music. Let's let the kids do something. I love it. Great. Thank you, Spike. So back to the Fox Sports. So here's your top five, Dylan. And Lady Gaga is coming in at number five. Number four is Michael Jackson. Number three, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and 50 Cent Fitty.
Yeah.
You know, Fitty and I have a past.
Do you really?
Oh, I've got some Fitty stories. Yeah. Yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. He and I both agreed on Kanye. That we're not big Kanye fans.
Yeah.
Well, pardon me.
Yay.
Is he still yay or is it yay?
Whatever he wants. He always changes it.
He does. Number two, Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, and the Nipple.
That's number two?
Yes. Which, by the way, hold on. That performance, I forgot about this. So the NFL was so freaked out because, you know, there was a little nippleage showing.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So it was a wardrobe malfunction. That word actually entered the national lexicon because of that Super Bowl performance. But the next year, they decided to do Paul McCartney because they weren't concerned. They were concerned about a wardrobe malfunction, but they were fairly certain Paul McCartney would not show any nipple.
Yeah.
And so that's how Paul McCartney came about.
It's a good business decision there.
But number one, this is interesting. It's number one, Fox Sports said Prince.
Yeah.
Everybody
seems
to.
Most people agree on that.
Yeah. They seem to think that was the performance.
But putting Lady Gaga above Michael Jackson has to be a crime, right?
Yes. Yeah.
She barely sang.
May I just say, she is a great performer. I love it when she's just herself, none of the exotic. Was she the one that did the meat outfit? She dressed
was.
As meat?
Yeah, she was the bacon outfit.
I was concerned because in the South, they would have like dipped her in batter and deep fried her because, you know, that much meat.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not. It wouldn't go well down here.
No, it's not country fried steak. That's not Lady Gaga. That's roadkill.
At least she wasn't wearing it while she performed.
That's true.
Yeah.
But when you take away, you know, the meat and the makeup and she's just there on the piano, what a beautiful, I mean, she's got a beautiful voice.
She does. I liked her in A Star Is Born. Did you watch that? The newest?
No, I don't watch the remakes.
Yeah.
So is it worth watching?
She's good. She has a good voice. And there was a good song that came out of that with Bradley Cooper and her singing. That was the last time I liked Lady Gaga.
Really? Lady Gaga.
Gaga.
The father, do they still own the Italian? They own like an Italian restaurant, I think, over in Staten Island or somewhere in New York.
Yeah. I haven't been. I don't know.
All right. Interesting. All right. Let's go to John in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. All right, John, who do you like for the Super Bowl halftime show?
Well, I'd like to see Dolly Parton together with George Strait. I think that would be dynamite.
All right. So, well, I love old Dolly. She's just a great lady. And let's see here. George Strait. Man, I like George Strait. You can't go wrong with any of those.
No, you can't. It's an all-time winner.
All right. Good stuff. Are they supposed to be on tour? I had heard rumblings of that. I don't want to spread rumors. So we'll research that. But I heard something about Dolly and George Strait. We'll get to the bottom of it. John, thank you for listening to us. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So, look, I'm going to play this audio. Katie Porter is the running for governor in California. This gal is unhinged. She is such, you know, sometimes they're just really horrible human beings. She's one of them. So she sat down and she did an interview with CBS in Sacramento. And these are good journalists out there, but they're on the side of the Democrats. It is what it is. So she's doing this sit-down interview, and I want you to listen to how Katie Porter treated this reporter during the interview. Cut number seven, please.
What do you say to the 40% of California voters who you'll need in order to win, who voted for Trump?
How would I need them in order to win, ma'am?
Well, unless you think you're going to get 60% of the vote. You think you'll get 60%. Everybody who did not vote for Trump will vote for you. That's what you're
saying. In a general election? Yes. If it is me versus a Republican, I think that I will win the people who did not vote for Trump.
What if it's you versus another Democrat?
I don't intend that to be the case.
So how do you not intend that to be the case? Are you going to ask them not to run?
No. I'm saying I'm going to build the support. I have the support already in terms of name recognition. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do the very best I can to make sure that we get through this primary in a really strong position. But let me be clear with you. I represented Orange County. I represented a purple area. Mm-hmm. I have stood on my own 2 feet and won Republican votes before. That's not something every candidate in this race can say. If you're from a deep blue area, if you're from LA or you're from Oakland, you don't have an experience.
But you just said you don't need those Trump voters.
Well, you asked me if I needed them to win.
So you don't.
I feel like this is unnecessarily argumentative. What is your question?
The question is the same thing I asked everybody, that this is being called the empowering voters to stop Trump's power grab. Every other candidate has answered this question. This is not
argumentative. And I said I support it.
So, and the question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40% of California voters to win? And you're saying, no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can. And what I'm saying to you is that...
Well, to those voters. Okay, so you...
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it. Okay. Thank you.
You're not going to do the interview with us?
Nope, not like this. I'm not. Not with 7 follow-ups to every single question you ask.
Every other candidate has answered follow-ups.
I don't care. I want to have a pleasant, positive conversation in which you ask me about every issue on this list. And if every question you're going to make up a follow-up question, then we're never going to get there.
Ms.
And
Porter,
we're just going to circle around.
I am an investigative reporter.
I have never
reporter.
Had to do this before, ever.
You've never had to have a conversation with a reporter?
To end an interview.
Okay, but every other candidate has done this.
I'm running for governor because I'm a leader. So I am going to make...
So you're not going to answer questions from reporters?
Wow. That's a little intense. Right? It's like, what's up there? Katie, you having a bad day? Are you having, did somebody cut you off on the interstate getting over to the interview? What's going on? Maybe, have you had lunch? Are you a little hangry? Is that what's going on here, Katie? Katie, is it that special time of, are we having a ladies' day? Katie, what's going on here? Well, no, I'm just asking, Della. No, I can't ask that. I'm a host. Nothing is off limits here. I'm just trying to understand, why are you being such a, an unkind person, Katie, to the reporterette? I mean, what has this little lady reporter done to you, Katie? She was just asking questions. And by the way, these are legitimate questions because California has a jungle primary. So whoever the top vote getters are go into the general election. And so that's why the Democrats have to be able to reach out across the aisle to get these Trump voters. So it was a legitimate question. So now, man, the knives are out for Katie Porter. And apparently she was a horrible woman to work for in the Congress because her staff, guess what they're doing, Dylan? Dylan, guess what they're doing? They're leaking videos.
She's exposed.
Oh, it's great. So apparently she was doing like one of these Zoom things. It's always the Zoom. Just ask Jeffrey Toobin. Not going to be able to let that down.
It's true.
But we don't have any Toobin action going on here. No. Apparently, one of the poor staffers, and these kids make no money, right? They're like 21, 22 years old, and she was doing an interview, and one of her staffers popped into the shot. And all you know what broke loose. We're not going to play it because we'd have to bleep it. Get out of my bleeping shot. Get out of my bleeping shot. She's screaming at the poor staffer. And the staffer couldn't help it. She had to keep coming back. I don't know why, but the staffer would not get out of the bleeping shot.
Yeah, poor staff. It looked like she was in a house. Like she was just going to the kitchen. Like,
get out. Get out of my bleeping shot.
Very pleasant.
You've seen the video.
I've seen it. It's bad. Real
bad. It's not good. It's It's first of all, it's not a very good shot.
No, it's not even a good shot.
No, and the problem is she looks like how she sounds, right? So it's not like she's, well, what's the polite way? She's not classically beautiful, this woman. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, she's not going to be on the fashion model, you know. She's not going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit unless they do a, you know, a DEI version. I'm just saying. I'm not being mean. It's like I'm not going to be on the cover of, like, you know, GQ. All right? I accept that.
You never know.
Wow. So, anyway, Porter was very upset, and Politico has the story. They're not identifying the staffer out of privacy concerns, but I'm wondering if the staffer got fired. Get out of my shot. Ooh, a little scary. Anyway, the Democrats think she's the best shot they got to win. I don't know about that. So here's my question. Are the Republicans going to be able to put anybody up against Katie Porter here? I keep wanting to call her Katy Perry. I'm sorry. Anyway, Porter sent out a statement and said she's striving to do better by her staff. I don't know if that's possible. Here's what she told Politico. It's no secret I hold myself and my staff to a high standard, and that was especially true as a member of Congress. I have bleep and sought to be more intentional in showing gratitude to my staff for their important work. Yeah, blanking blank holes. You know, she might want to still work on that. I think, you know, she's getting there, but she may have a little ways to go. All right, we got to go. Got to go take a break. We'll be right back, America.
From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters this Friday. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. WSIC, Lynn has a recommendation for the Super Bowl halftime show. Hey, Lynn, what you got for us?
Hi, Todd. I would like for the Super Bowl halftime show the Marine Band, the U.S. Marine Band.
Oh, you can't go wrong with the Marine Band.
And Hail to the Chief should be the first song.
Oh, wow. Well, it's a great idea. I love that, Lynn. You know, they used to do marching bands back in the day.
Yes, they did, and I wish they would bring them back.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, somebody invited me this weekend. They're doing a huge marching band, you know, competition. They do it's going to be huge. And so they said, Starnes, you ought to come down and check it out. So I may have to do that.
Where is it?
You know, it's somewhere here in the Memphis area, and this is a huge marching band community out here. And
that's great.
Yeah, the drum and bugle corps and all that kind of DCI, I think, is what they call it. And they do a lot. It's really impressive. It's a lot of work these kids put into that.
Well, that's what I recommend.
All right, Lynn, thank you for the suggestion. Lynn from Statesville, North Carolina says, let's bring in the Marine Corps band. I like that idea. All right, by the way, I've got to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile, and so many of you have been reaching out. We got a call from Patriot Mobile. They said in the past 2 days, they've had like several thousand Todd Stearns Show callers and folks very interested in switching over to Patriot Mobile. And the great news is, and I get these questions all the time, is there a hassle to switch? And the answer is no. You get to keep your number, your phone, or you can upgrade. It's up to you. And the customer service team is based right here in America, and they all speak very good English. So here's what I want you to do. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd right now. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. And if you give them my promo code, which is Todd, T-O-D-D, got to use my promo code, Todd, they're going to give you a free month of service. I mean, that's a huge deal, a free month of service. And folks, it is an incredible cell phone company. They are patriotic, they're Christian, they're conservative, and they use their profits to support organizations that we all care about. So go check them out, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT, and use my code Todd. You're going to get a free month of service. Folks, we have a great show coming up for you tonight on Newsmax. Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona is going to be one of our great guests. Also, Dalton Glasscock, Angie Wong. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax 2, The Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, get out there. You be safe. Have a great one. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the radio.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Think fossil fuels are climate villains that the legacy media and establishment politicos ask us to believe that they are? Think again. Did you know that fossil fuels power the systems that keep us safe? From air conditioning that prevents heat stroke to heating systems that protect against extreme cold. They also provide low-cost power for our storm warning systems, giving us time to evacuate and save lives. Forget being a villain. Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. In fact, over the past century, deaths from climate-related disasters like extreme temperatures, droughts, floods, storms, wildfires have declined by 98% thanks to fossil-fueled infrastructure and technology. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I just want you to know the facts. Don't be fossil-fooled. Get the full picture at oilfacts.com. Brought to you by NASDAQ-listed Prairie Operating Group, a high-growth, low-cost producer of safe and responsible American energy. That's oilfacts.com. Oilfacts.com.